Today on More to Life, beating burnout. Feeling frazzled by life's demands? Just going through the motions lately? In your work or your roles? We want to help you replenish your spirit and rediscover your sense of purpose and passion. 877-573-7825.
All of us have a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, beating burnout. I think everybody feels a little burned out now and again, whether we're talking about the burnout we feel at work or the burnout we feel working on a relationship or the burnout we feel in a particular role like parenting.
Or just the idea of everything we're exposed to. All the headlines in the news, some of the crankier people in our lives are just draining our energy. And we're just thinking, how do I get in touch with the Holy Spirit again? How do I get my energy back? How do I feel good about things again and hopeful? It can really get to the place where we just feel so heavy about some of these things, some of these relationships, that we're not quite sure how to find ourselves again.
And even in these summer months when folks kind of get a little bit more time off, coming back to work and life can really emphasize that sense of burnout too. So we want to help you replenish your spirit and recover your sense of purpose and passion wherever you are feeling a little burned out or a lot burned out. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you feeling like the harder you work on something, whether that's a particular job or a particular problem or a particular relationship, the less you get out of it? Maybe you're feeling drained in a relationship. You know, you're working hard to be a good parent, a supportive spouse, a good son or daughter, but you feel like it's never enough. Maybe you feel burned out in your job, and you just feel like you're going through the motions these days. Or maybe you're just burned out on life, and you wake up in the morning having to push yourself to get up and get started. Whether your experience of burnout is kind of localized to a particular problem, relationship, or activity, or kind of spreading all over the place, we want to help you reclaim your sense of purpose and passion and live that abundant life that God has for each of us. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
And I think this can happen to all of us from time to time. I know it can. But there's also the idea of, why is this happening again in this thing? We often think that once we pull ourselves through a season of deep frustration, exhaustion, burnout, that we will have acquired the skills to never let it happen again. Mm. But life doesn't work that way. It's always kind of throwing stuff at us. We're always reacting emotionally in some way, because, of course, when we start to do all this, our bodies send us really, you know, important messages about, hey, you know, this is scary, or, hey, you've got to do all these things to survive and be... So we're kind of living in fight or flight. And then we get through it, and we think, oh, I'll be fine. I'll get it. I'll have all the skills next time. And then we don't, and we get more frustrated and more tired as it goes by.
And again, you know, we usually think of burnout in relationship to work, but it applies to our relationship as well. In fact, I was talking with a friend of mine who's a part of my men's group, and he was sharing about how burned out he was feeling in his relationship with his adult son, who has been making some choices that he, you know, was concerned about, not living up to the faith. And, you know, my friend was really trying to, you know, figure out how could he support his son, and just really feeling discouraged and wanting to kind of give up on the relationship in some ways. And you know, we were able, as we talked about it in group, you know, we talked about how this was kind of a sign of burnout and that, you know, he needed to maybe change his approach or, you know, bring it to God. And we talked through some things that helped him find some encouragement. But I'm just sharing this because I want to illustrate the point that, you know, burnout, yes, it is about feeling like I'm getting less out of my work or my roles, but it's also true for our relationships too, because we work hard on our relationships, especially when we care about somebody. And when we seem to be getting less and less out of the effort we're putting into either the work or the role or the relationship, it becomes draining and can lead to burnout. So give us a call if you are experiencing burnout in any of those areas. The number again is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us emails to questions@moretoliferadio.com. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And now you might be saying, well, okay, but what is that, and how could it possibly help me deal with burnout? Great questions. Glad you asked. Here we go. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we look at everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we draw from all of that to discover God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And that's why the theology of the body is so important for us to reflect on in every aspect of our life, because it gives us principles for discerning God's plan for responding to all those personal and relationship challenges.
And it really allows us to take everything that Christ gave us in Scripture, all the things that the Magisterium have given us, and it boils down to applying it to really important everyday things. Even this idea of what do we do when we feel burned out? Because in the theology of the body, St. John Paul offered a surprisingly helpful lens to understand and heal burnout, which experts say is effort minus meaning. Here's the big picture. In the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world, work wasn't the grind that we find it to be now often. It was rewarding, creative, fulfilling. It's what we long for in our work now, isn't it? Our work and our roles served us. But after the fall, that all flipped. Work in general, and even sometimes the work we do in our relationships, became what we call toil. Frustrating. Draining. Something that can wear us down instead of building us up. Does that sound familiar at all? The theology of the body reminds us that we're made for love, not just labor.
And that's why when we feel burned out, it's often because we've lost that connection between our effort and the deeper meaning, you know, why we're doing it. You know, work, whether we mean the effort we put into our job or the effort we put into our relationships, should help us feel like we're making a positive difference in the lives of those around us and help us draw closer to others. And the way we do our work and roles should respect the needs that God built into our body as well. So, what do we do when we feel burned out? Well, we need to reconnect our work to love. We need to ask God to help us answer a couple of questions. First, how can I approach my work or roles in a way that helps me feel more like I'm using the gifts God gave me to make a positive difference and draw closer to the people in my life? And also, how could I change the approach I'm taking to my work so that my approach better serves my physical, emotional, and spiritual needs? You know, burnout doesn't mean we're broken. It's a sign that we need to adjust our approach and our thinking about the work we're doing. And by doing that, we can rediscover the godly, fulfilling purpose behind our effort. Okay, so that sounds all great in theory, but what does that mean to you, where you're feeling burned out at work, in your role as a parent or a spouse, in your work on a relationship with someone you care about. Let us help you reclaim that sense of purpose and passion that's missing when burnout appears on the scene. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we bring to you those situations that are causing us to feel burned out, those things that we put a lot of energy and effort into and get less and less out of, whether that is our job or a particular role we play or a relationship that we're working on. We want to use our gifts to build up your kingdom and to work for the good of others and to make a difference. But so often we feel like we're just pouring good effort after bad and getting less and less out of it. In those times, Lord, we ask you to fill our dried up hearts with your grace so that we can experience the passion and purpose behind the work that you've asked us to do, the relationships you've asked us to work on, the roles you've asked us to play, so that in everything we do, we are able to glorify you by using our gifts to be a gift to others and to build your kingdom through your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, beating burnout. Are you feeling a little frazzled by life's demands, frustrated by the work that you're doing, the role that you're playing, or the relationships that you're in? We want to help you replenish your spirit and start getting more meaning out of all that effort you're putting into that stuff. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I mean, it is open gym. It's optional.
Wait. Rebecca, you're on the air.
Oh, 1 second.
It's okay. Hi. We're glad to have you on. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what's your question for us today?
Yes. So I'm kind of in a toxic work environment, and it's been hard for people to, like, speak freely, including myself. And, like, I know I speak with well intention, but I'll have, like, a great one-on-one conversation, and then it goes another way. And so it's just, like, just advice.
So can you give me an example of a situation at work? Can you give us an example of a situation at work that you've tried to handle? Tell us a little bit about what you tried to do about it and what happened, so this way we know where to start.
Right. So I tried... I confronted one of my staff members about just, like, how he carries business, just with others, just making sure that, like, all those under him are, like, treated with respect. Like, not one person is given a hard time. So, like, there's always someone who's being, like, the butt
of the joke. So you're this person, and are you this person's boss or colleague?
Colleague.
Okay. So you don't have any particular... Sorry, say again?
They're, like, our... It's, like... they're our boss in a way. So you have, like, the main person in charge, and then it's like coaching and stuff.
So no, but the reason I'm asking is I'm trying to figure out what authority you have to give this person any feedback about their performance.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess I don't, since I'm under him.
Okay.
But I just see that I don't like the way that he treats those under him, and so I wanted to say something, and it was a great conversation, but then the treatment was just different afterwards. Like, he was avoiding me. There's more passive aggressive jokes. And the person that I tried to stand up for, they ended up getting kicked out for the day. They straight up just got dismissed because I said something. And so I'm just wondering, like, what do I do? Because I just feel like they can't necessarily get rid of me because of my role. Mm-hmm. But, this person, I guess, was more excusable since they were lower on the chain.
So let me, is the environment affecting you directly in any particular way, or is this more your concern for the other members of the team?
It's all those involved, including myself. It's just very distracting. I just feel like I'm not able just to focus on my work and my performance.
Okay, so, I mean, and that's obviously frustrating, and ultimately, you know, with any job, if we feel like the environment is toxic, we might need to change that job. But I think one thing that's difficult to do, but important to keep in mind, is that we need to pick our battles. And one of the things, you know, it's kind of funny to see this, you know, the church teaches that the way it thinks about big problems is the way it also thinks about small problems, and we can actually get some wisdom here from just war theory, which sounds silly, but you know, just war theory is the approach that the church takes to deciding whether entering into, you know, conflict between nations, for example, is just or not. And one of the criteria in just war theory is the idea that we shouldn't pick any battles that we don't think we can win. There are other things too, like you know, the effort it takes to fight this particular battle should be proportionate to the offense, and it should have a relatively good chance of addressing the injustice, of solving the problem instead of making problems bigger. And we can apply those same basic principles to whether you pick a fight with somebody or enter into conflict with somebody. And in this case, the example that you gave, the reason I asked what authority you had was because you didn't have any chance to really affect change here, because it didn't directly impact you, and you weren't an authority over this person that you were talking to. Now, I'm glad the conversation went well, but because of those factors, your boss is gonna feel awkward around you now, especially if he doesn't deal with conflict well to begin with. And so I'm not saying you did anything wrong per se. I think you know your cause was just, your hearts were in the right place. But I think that if you want to succeed in this place, you're going to have to do a better job of picking your battles and making sure that you are focused on your performance and your work and your role, and that anything you bring to the higher ups is something that directly impacts you. And focuses on specific action steps that you can take to improve the situation, right? So they're sort of, it's not, I'm going to take up the fight for this other person, or I'm going to address the wider concerns in the culture, because you really can't affect those things as an employee, right? You can do your job, and you can make sure that your employer treats you well. And otherwise, you can, if the environment's safe enough, you can make suggestions for other things, but you can't necessarily affect change. And if you're saying the environment is toxic and not open to change, then you have to either decide that I can just focus on my performance and my relationship with my particular higher up, or I need to find another place to be. And so those are really the options that you've got. So I'm going to ask you to just kind of pray about that and reflect on that. And specifically, before you take up any other arguments with your boss, make sure that it directly impacts you, and that the effort that you put into it, is going to has a reasonable chance of solving the problem rather than contributing to it. And I'm sorry that you're in that position, Rebecca. I know that a lot of people, a lot of us who in work do find ourselves in that place. But that is why it's important to make sure that we're picking our battles based on the criteria that I laid out for you. And I know I went through it relatively quickly. So if you want to, kind of refresh your memory, make sure to check out the More to Life podcast. And that goes for all listeners out there. If you miss an episode of More to Life, you can always tune in to the More to Life podcast, which airs every day after the show. You can just get it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for the call, Rebecca. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about beating burnout today on More to Life. Whether you're feeling burned out in your work, burned out in a particular role you're playing, like parent, for example, or burned out working on a relationship that's just feeling less and less rewarding, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some insights on how we can be burnout from a spiritual perspective. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heartsick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Beating Burnout, as we talk about those times when you feel like you're putting a whole lot of effort into something, a relationship, work, a role, and getting less and less out of it. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Good morning to the both of you. Thanks for having me on again.
Of course. And you wanted to share some insights from J.R.R. Tolkien on this topic of burnout. I'm intrigued.
Yes, might seem like a stretch, but yes, teaching our elective course on the writings of Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, who were dear friends for many decades, just about a week and a half at Black Rock here in southeastern PA. So I'm in the zone. I find that Tolkien was an incredible worker. The more I study his own life, he was just endlessly on his project, not just as an Oxford don, teaching philology and teaching what he did at Oxford, but creating this world which many people are familiar with in the writings of The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, The Silmarillion. But I think one of the things that kept Tolkien going was seeing that in creation and in the work that we're doing, there's an intrinsic goodness. Like, things are good, inherently good. Whatever we're doing, something about creation is always lifting us up to the Creator. And he had this great line that he wrote in a little poem called Mythopoeia. He said, "We make still by the law in which we're made." And he called it sub-creation. And so we see this all over the place when people are, you know, we come into a new apartment, we come into a space. We immediately have a sense that I want to beautify this area. I want to bring something of my humanity into it and make it more pleasant, more livable. So we're sort of breathing a spirit into creation wherever we are, whatever we're doing, in the same way that our Creator breathes His spirit into creation. I think when we're talking about burnout, when we're talking about like the dreary, the carrying of the cross, to be aware of the inherent goodness of the created world and the fact that we're made and that we want to make in the way we're made, I think it can bring to us a breath of fresh air.
You know, important insights on how, you know, how we approach our work makes a difference too, because I think we can get to a place where we just start phoning something in, and that actually leads to burnout as well. If we're not trying to think, as you were saying, you know, how can I approach this in a way that allows me to make a contribution, that allows me to make a positive difference, that allows me to see the work that I'm doing is bearing fruit in my own life or in the lives of others, then it can lead to that sense of loss and dryness.
And Bill, isn't so much of this that we're talking about now, isn't it about having a daily ongoing prayer life with God, an ongoing conversation while we're doing our work, a prayer that says, "Lord, this is draining me a bit, but I want to glorify you in it. Come close to me. Help me see what's valuable here. Help me do this with your light and your love." Doesn't that help us at least invite God in to lift us up out of this sense of burnout?
Yeah, beautifully said, Lisa. Beautifully said. That, and that makes the work that we do actually magnetically attractive. I think today we see in our culture, which so much is machine-made, factory line, assembly line, people have a hunger for artisanal work. They have a longing for handcrafted stuff, you know. So there is that. There's the life-giving spirit in things. Let me go back to Middle Earth for just a moment. Tolkien's elves are beautifully creative, and they, in Rivendell or Lothlorien, there's these beautiful spaces where Tolkien writes that the elves put the thought of all that they love into all that they make. It's a great line. I'm inspired by it constantly. We put the thought the elves have, all we love, into all we make. Now, if imagine a culture where we're doing that.
Well, let's imagine exactly that by just going back to all the Catholic architecture, all the incredible, you know, books that we had with all the beautiful work in it. And we know that as Catholics, this is part of who we are, and we need to work to bring that back into our daily moments every day. Thank you, Bill. And we appreciate your input.
If folks would like to learn more about Bill's upcoming course on Tolkien and Lewis, you can go to tobinstitute.org. That's tobinstitute.org. Thanks, Bill, for being with us.
My pleasure.
And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about beating burnout. Whether you're feeling like you're putting a whole lot of effort into your work and getting less and less out of it, or your role as a parent or other role, or a particular relationship, and it's just making you feel kind of dry and frustrated, we want to help you rediscover your sense of purpose and joy and find the best way forward. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your questions coming up right after this break.
What is the perfect prayer? The prayer that was taught us by the Lord Jesus himself, the Our Father. The Catholic Catechism cites the Our Father as truly the summary of the whole gospel. St. Augustine writes, "Run through all the words of the holy prayers, and I do not think you will find anything in them that is not contained and included in the Lord's Prayer." The Scriptures, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, says the Catechism, are all fulfilled in Christ. This is the good news of the Gospel. St. Thomas Aquinas gives equally high praise to the Our Father. The Lord's Prayer, he says, is the most perfect of prayers. In it, we ask not only for all the things we can rightly desire, but also in the sequence that they should be desired. The rightness of our life in Jesus will depend on the rightness of our prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, beating burnout. Are you feeling frazzled by life's demands? Just going through the motions in some area of your life, whether that's at work, in your particular role, or even in a relationship? Well, we want to help you replenish your spirit, rediscover your sense of purpose and passion, and find the solutions that will help you get more out of the work that you're putting into whatever that is. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Nicole, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Iowa.
Nicole, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. So my burnout is from, I have two children that I'm having extreme burnout. One is I have a 21-year-old son that just is not finding his way. He, as far as work and career and his purpose, and the last job he had was a part-time job, and then that he got laid off.
Does he live with you, or is he on his own?
He was living with me, but I've had him actually live with his dad for the last year because of the extreme burnout, and he wasn't, he's just not able to, as far as get work or school or,
okay.
Anything.
And you
like
also
that.
Told our screener that you have a 16-year-old daughter who also moved in with her dad. What's the story there?
Yes, the story there was we were extremely close up until she hit teenage years, and then when she hit teenage years, her dad has an entirely different parenting style than I do, and so he's very, she's just running the show over there, basically, and doing what she
And how wants. How long have you and Dad been apart?
Well, my son and I, my ex-husband, it was two different fathers. So I was married, okay. And my ex-husband, we've been apart for a very long time. But my daughter and I, her father, we've been apart for, 10 to 12 years now.
Okay, and so each of these children is with their own biological father. They're not together as brother and sister in one household right now.
No, they okay. were, but no.
Got you.
No, they're not
so so how can we help you out at this point? And you also said that your 16-year-old isn't speaking to you. So what is it that we can do for you today?
Well, that's what I would like to know. I keep trying to have a relationship with my daughter. I'm reaching out, texting her. There's no response.
Why is she angry with you? What is she angry about?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I've tried to talk to her about it and try to have reunification, and she's told me that she doesn't want a relationship right now, that it's too much for her right now.
Okay, so that she, this was not all like loving and peaceful and serene, and then one day she said, "Mom, I'm just leaving. I don't need a relationship with you right now." There were fights, there were arguments, there were, some kind of messaging from her up till there. So when does she flare up? When she was still home with you and giving you these messages of, "This isn't working for me, Mom," what was the message? What was she saying?
She was saying that she didn't, I had certain rules and boundaries, and she didn't like those. So, the big fallout was a year ago when we moved to a new home, and she was here, and she didn't like just being able to, she wanted to be able to do things that at her age she shouldn't be, you know, doing. So she decided she didn't like that. She didn't like the the rules, but she wanted to go to her dad's because she could, you know, do what she wanted over there.
All right, so let me offer some general kind of feedback on this, and then going to go from there. And I, you know, I can hear your heart breaking, and I'm so sorry that you're in this situation. It's so painful when we're estranged from our kids, especially, you know, your teenage daughter.
I mean, that's a relationship that you really have a heart for and that you want. And when they use a separated situation in the parenting to be able to manipulate us or, you know, break down the relationship instead of stick it out and heal it, it's really, really painful.
So, and, you know, and then add in the dynamic that you and your ex parent very differently, that presents additional challenges. So let me just say, generally speaking, and this is for you and for any other listener who is a parent of a teen, because you said you and your daughter were really close until she became a teenager. What happens in adolescence, our approach to discipline really needs to be focused not so much on the rules, but on how we can teach our kids to appropriately do the things they want to do. So because the teenager's job is to find their place in the world and start building relationships. And if we can come alongside of our teen and really help them do those things in healthy ways, then they'll respect our rules and it won't become a battleground. If, on the other hand, the way we approach those rules is by coming across like we're an obstacle to them forming relationships or finding their place in the world, they withdraw from us more and more and reject our authority more and more. Which then, of course, we try to respond to by piling on more consequences and more rules, which then keeps sending that same message that I'm not really listening to you and I don't care about helping you find your place in the world and helping you build a relationship. Now, that's not what you meant to communicate, but that's what she took from it. And so so yes, of course, there's a little bit of manipulativeness that goes into, well, I'm going to go live with Dad. That's true. But that's also the situation you have to reckon with in the particular dynamic that you got here.
And even in that situation, there's part of her that's inside of her screaming, pay attention to what I want. I'm going to escalate this to the point where you're in pain so you'll notice what I want.
Yeah, and so, you know, when I asked you, you know, what was the message she was trying to send? You know, what was the pain that she's trying to communicate to you? And you said, that's a good question. You know, what that really says is that you're focused on what you want. You want reunification. You want a relationship with your daughter, which are good things to want. Of course you want those things. But she is still feeling like you haven't heard her and that you haven't really listened. Now, that doesn't mean you have to agree with her and give her whatever she wants. But it does mean that you're going to have to, moving forward, open up your heart to hearing what it is that she's trying to tell you. So your way in at this point is to kind of adopt a really humble approach. It's going to feel a little odd as a parent, but it's important. And to reach out to her and say, listen, I've kind of realized that you feel like I haven't been listening to you. And that I haven't really heard what your concerns were or what your needs were. And I just want you to know that when you're ready to talk about that, I'd like to hear what you have to say to me, whatever it is. And I'm sorry if I gave you the impression that I wasn't concerned with whatever your concerns were. I wasn't trying to help you. If you didn't feel like I was trying to help you find your place in the world or build relationships and all of that, I want to understand where you're coming from, and I want to listen. And when she does come around, because she will eventually, if you're able to communicate that message consistently, she will. When she does come around, listen. Just listen. Don't defend yourself. Don't try to impose rules. Don't explain anything. Just listen and say, okay, I thank you for sharing all that with me. I need to kind of take some time to think about it and pray about it, but I'm really glad you shared all that with me. Make it safe for her to communicate that stuff with you. And then you're going to give us a call back, okay, at that point, and we can coach you through some next steps. If you'd like some ongoing support, I'm going to encourage you to become a subscriber to Catholic Home. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. Or in this case, because it is more complicated and you have issues with your 16-year-old and your 21-year-old, I'd really suggest maybe getting some good pastoral counseling to be able to find faithful ways to respond to both of these challenges and build your relationship with your son and your daughter. I know you asked about your son at first, and we focused in on the daughter. It's kind of the same thing with your son, right? So your son is being stuck. When kids fail to launch, what they're really saying is, there was something I didn't get that I'm still hoping to get before I launch. You know, so the nurturance, the stability, the sense of connection. Kids, when they fail to launch, they're sending a message that I didn't get something emotionally that I needed in order to feel secure stepping out on my own. Now, that time may have passed for him, and he may just have to learn how to stand on his own 2 feet. But there are probably some things that you could do to bolster that relationship as well. That's more than we can get into on the show today. But if you'd like some more feedback on that and how to build your relationship better with your son and your 16-year-old so that you can continue to be an influence in their lives moving forward, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. One of the resources, our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversation with Adult Sons and Daughters, I think will be a big help to you, as well as it maps out not just how to have conversations, but how to build the kind of relationship with your young adult kids that make them actually want to hear what you have to say and want to be in relationship with you. So again, that book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And Nicole, you do have a beautiful heart, and I want you to be able to rebuild your relationship with your kids. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. And do check out that book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Beating Burnout. And you know, as we've defined throughout the show, burnout is effort minus meaning. And that can happen anywhere. It can happen at our work. It can happen in our role as a parent or a spouse, or even son or daughter to a parent. It can happen in our relationships, where we feel like we're just putting all kinds of effort into making the relationship better and getting less and less and less out of it. Wherever you are feeling burned out in your life, we want to help you rediscover your sense of purpose and passion and identify the solutions that will help you feel like you're getting on top of it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31.
But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
It's a beautiful and inspiring verse, but I want to focus on what it means to wait for the Lord. Because a lot of times we take that to mean I should just keep doing what I'm doing and just wait for God to fix it. That's not what this passage really means. Waiting for the Lord means bringing the situation to God and saying, Lord, the way I'm doing this just ain't working, and I don't know what to do. Teach me how to respond to this situation in ways that will bear fruit. Show me what to do. Break me open. Make me open to change. How do I need to change? Me. What do I need to change about myself to approach this differently, to do this in a way that will bear fruit, whatever this is? That's what waiting on the Lord really means. And when we do that, God does break open our heart and show us new approaches and new ways to use the gifts he's given us to make a difference. But it starts with humbling ourselves before God and asking him to teach us what to do when our efforts are bearing less and less fruit. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show, Beating Burnout. We talk about those times when we feel like we're putting a ton of energy into something and getting less and less out of it, whatever that is. Let us help you renew your sense of purpose and passion and get a clearer sense of direction moving forward. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, beating burnout. You know, burnout is effort minus meaning, and that can apply to any area of our life and relationships. Let's talk out those situations where you're feeling burned out. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next call, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 10 years with us. KFUC 103.3 FM in Clarkston, Washington.
Congratulations to John Vasari and his excellent team at Clarkston Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars, too. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong so we can keep supporting you and all of those you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, thanks to John Vasari and his team at Clarkston Catholic Radio for all the work they're doing to build the kingdom, and thanks to you, listeners, for helping to build the kingdom by keeping EWTN on the air. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ann, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hey, Ann. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. So I'm taking care of parents and children and working full-time at the same time. So
God bless you.
Burnout, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's in a nursing home, and he has had a stroke, so having a major relationship with him is probably not feasible at this time, but trying to figure out how to have a relationship with my mom. Her mom kind of had victimhood type things, and so like she had learned that as well as I had learned that. I've tried to go to therapy and work through some of that, but I know for like some of the older generation, therapy can have a negative connotation in the past, so sometimes trying to have them work on themselves is hard. But I guess my question is how, when someone gets stuck in either being the victim or the hero, how do you create boundaries but still have like a relationship with them, and what would your recommendation be?
What a terrific question. Thank you so much.
Great question. And God bless you, Anne. I want to say right from the get-go that you are working this hard on working, taking care of your children, and taking care of your parents, and you have the insight to say, I want to see what I can heal with mom here. That's amazing that you could even think about taking that on.
So let me start by talking about the fact that we can't do more than God can do. Right? And let me explain by what I mean by that. Right? I'm sure you'd agree that no one has done more in the history of ever to make it possible for us to have a relationship than Jesus Christ, right? He gave all of himself for us through his passion, death, and resurrection. He gave it all and extends himself to everyone and invites everyone to be in relationship with him. And yet some people aren't. Some people choose to not be in that relationship. And even God can't make them be in relationship with him because he respects their free will. And we need to keep that in mind. You know, God makes relationship possible. He extends the invitation to, this is what it would mean to follow me. If you love me, keep my commands, right? But he also lets us choose to not keep those commands or to not be in relationship with him. And it breaks his heart, but he lets us do it. And there's an important lesson there, that you can't make a relationship, a healthy relationship, especially happen with your mother all on your own. You can do what you can to extend an invitation and to say, this is what I need from you, mom, to have a healthy relationship with you. Will you walk with me in that? And then it's up to mom to decide whether she loves you or her victimhood more. Because you described her as kind of being a chronic victim and sort of abusive in that. You know, so saying to somebody, hey, listen, I love you and I'd like to have a better relationship with you, but in order to do that, it would really require X, Y, and Z. Are you willing to work on that with me? Which you've done. And if that person says, well, no, thank you, what they're saying is that I'm choosing my brokenness over the call to love. And unfortunately, you can't fix that. All you can do is continue to extend the invitation and to have whatever relationship you can have that they'll let you, that's healthy, be in the meantime. And what that means is you kind of look back, you look at your mom and you say, where can I be around my mom? In what conditions or what circumstances can I be around my mom and not have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together after I leave her? Right? And that might be nothing, or maybe it's, you know, I can text with her, or I can visit her once a week, or I can call her for 15 minutes once a week, or I, you know, she handles herself in public pretty well, but if I go to the house, we get sucked into drama. Like, I want you to look at the relationship that you have with your mom and ask yourself, under what conditions can I be around her and feel emotionally, spiritually, physically safe? And again, when I say that, I don't just mean, you know, she's going to, you know, punch you or something, but that you don't have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together after spending this time with her. Limit your relationship to that. And if mom complains about that, then you can say, well, mom, I would love to have a better relationship with you, but in order to do that, we need to heal X, Y, and Z, or I would need to see X, Y, and Z from you. Are you willing to work on that with me? Don't just tell her, you know, invite her. And I'm just saying, not saying this to you, but to all listeners, you know, when you're setting a boundary like that, it's not just, you need to go fix yourself. It's, look, I'm willing to work on this with you. Are you willing to do that? And if she says yes, great. You can move forward and have a better relationship. But if she says no, and she's choosing her brokenness over the call to love, then you have to let her. And that's sad, and you'll have to grieve that. But again, we can't do more to build relationship with people than God can do.
And if she chooses that, sure, you make sure she's still safe. You make sure she's still getting what she needs to stay alive, but you respect her choice, because her choice is somehow, in her mind, a way where she is healing all of her childhood stuff right now. We just don't know what that is. You don't know how she's coping with it. So you do that, and then, and you really have to remember that you don't want to be passing this on to your children. So your children, and if you are married, your husband are your primary focus. The primary things God is calling you
They're
to right now is your vocation. Exactly. So make sure you're not getting so caught up in healing mom and that relationship that you're neglecting time with your children and your spouse, that you're not bringing joy into that situation and making sure good things are happening there.
Yeah, and to that end, Anne, I invite you to become part of the Catholic home community.
Yeah.
That's Catholic H-O-M, it's spelled. It stands for Households on Mission. And, you know, this is we provide daily coaching to parents and a lot of support to families who are trying to get their priorities right, to get their boundaries right, so they can build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. And in fact, to Anne and all of our listeners, tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, we are having our monthly live Q&A for all of our Catholic Home subscribers, where the whole Catholic Home community gets together, ask questions, share success stories, meets other families who are also trying to build strong domestic churches. So if you'd like to join us, subscribe to the Catholic HOM app wherever you get your apps. We hope to see you there. And thank you for the call. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list. And if we can support you more, don't hesitate to reach out to us on Catholic Home or through CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're looking for faithful ways to respond to your tough marriage, family, or personal challenges, let us connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your life. Thanks. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.